split was going to go on for a while. It's an interesting topic, and I'm not necessarily in a hurry to complete it, not by design, but I just think it's important, significant. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, you know, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable. It mentions four things: for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Now, I look over these notes. There's, when you give a lesson, usually it's in one of these four areas, and this lesson is more instruction. And if you take it to heart, I hope it proves valuable to you. So the instruction in righteousness, the verse continues, that the man of God might be complete, truly furnished unto every good work. So it's more of an instructional lesson about something that you're very familiar with, but I'm going to be adding some things that you might not have remembered and give you information. When I talk about this as being the Lamb of God, I mentioned it when Jesus was taking the Passover in that upper room, there were at least nine events. You remember that we're taking at least nine. You can break it up in more spaces, but there's five chapters in the Gospel of John that describe the events in the upper room. John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Then you have Matthew and Mark recorded in Luke, and then also Paul in 1 Corinthians. He makes reference to them. I'm going to deliver unto you that which I receive. So he gives instructions concerning the Lord's Supper. So, and that's what I'm going to do in this lesson. So I've mentioned those nine things in your note. In your notes, I think I put them. Yes. And then I read last week the story of the Passover in Exodus chapters 11 and 12. Not the whole chapters I read, but particular verses. And I also mentioned point number one in your notes, that there was a problem that needed to be solved, and that's characteristic of both events. In the Passover, they needed to be free from the bondage that the Pharaoh, the Egyptians, held them in. And so God sent plagues to cause them, to cause Pharaoh to let the people go out of bondage. So they go to their homeland, Canaan's land. And just, I made a note for you that was just interesting. In the first nine plagues, Israel were observing. And in the last plague, they participated. So he, and also in the plagues, those first nine, in Exodus 8, verse 22, says, "In that day I will set apart the land of Goshen." Goshen is that suburb of Egypt. The Israelites, they were scattered throughout Egypt. They were located in a neighborhood, so to speak, in the land of Goshen, which is in the Nile Delta between Egypt, between the Egypt and the Red Sea. And so in Exodus 8:22, that I'll set my people apart in the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, in order that you may know that I'm the Lord in the midst of the land. So they were set apart from those plagues. They observed them. In Exodus 9, verse 4, the Lord will make a difference between the between livestock of Israel and Egypt. Nothing shall die that belongs to Israel. So God set the Israelites apart from those first nine plagues. They observed what was taking place among the Egyptians. And so then we come to this tenth plague, and God requires participation. And so and the Passover would cause their deliverance from their bondage that was that of them being held in Egypt, that would set them free. In the Lord's Supper, we have bondage to sin, and Jesus, in instituting his supper, tells us how we're going to be free from that. When he said in Matthew 26, 27, he took the cup, gave thanks, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant," and there's two phrases: "The blood of my new of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So with being held in bondage to sin, Jesus solves the problem. He says, you know, when I shed my blood, it's going to be for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And there's other things. So then we're on number two. And you notice the selection of the lamb. In the Passover, you're familiar with this story, when they selected the lamb, there were certain qualifications. In Exodus 12, verse 3, speak to the congregation of Israel. All right, specific people are going to participate in this. You speak to the congregation of Israel. On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. So there was a selection process. You find a lamb that's 1 year old without blemish, one per household. And then that lamb would stay at that house for 4 days. And in verse 6, you keep it till the 14th day of the same month. And don't you know that the whole family would become attached to that lamb? Don't you know? Can you imagine if there's children in that household? How long does it take for a child to get happy about a new puppy coming to the house? That long. just a moment. And they're attached to that lamb. They fed it, they pet it, played with the lamb, loved that lamb. And then there was the slaughter of that lamb. After that attachment of 4 days. In verse 6, you keep it till the 14th. Then you kill it at twilight. Slaughter of the lamb. An innocent lamb had to die in that Passover. And then there was a sign, I'll kind of put it that way, or a symbol or an emblem. It's in verse 7 and 8 of Exodus chapter 12. It says, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost of the lintel of the house where they eat it. They'll eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So in that Passover, in the selection of the lamb, there was qualifications. That lamb stayed with the household for a while. Then the lamb was slaughtered, and the blood put on the doorpost, and that was a sign, a symbol, emblematic of something, represented something. Well, now comes the Lord's Supper. Jesus is the perfect lamb for our deliverance. He's the selection. In John 1:29, after John is baptizing, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said to his disciples that were there, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The familiar verse of John 3:16 gives us the selection of the Lamb. God so loved the world that he, God, gave his only begotten Son. God made the selection of the Lamb in the sacrifice. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, knowing you are not redeemed with corrupt things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. We heard that book, considering the Passover lamb. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. So God made the selection for the lamb in this Passover to get us out of the bondage of sin. Jesus was, in Hebrews 4, verse 15, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Perfect lamb, without spot or without blemish. And then it's interesting to stay. You know, I mentioned that the lamb in the Passover had to stay at the household for 4 days, you know, from the 10th to the 14th. Well, Jesus was part of the family. You know, he was born in Matthew 1, verse 21. She'll bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus. for he'll save his people from their sins. So Jesus was born into a family. He was a heavenly child with an earthly mother. He was an earthly child with a heavenly father. And he was the selection. He stayed with the family given to Mary and Joseph. Before he was just close to 2 years of age, in Matthew 2, verse 13, Joseph was told, take the young child and his mother. See, Jesus went into a family, just like that Passover lamb. Instead, Joseph was told, take the young child, the mother, flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word. Because Herod had made that decree to kill all the baby boys, 2 years old and under. And then the next time we find Jesus in the Bible story is when he's 12 years old. In Luke chapter 2, verse 5, you know, 12 years old, he's in the temple, and Jesus confounds the scholars. But then it said, then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. By the way, when he fled to Egypt, just as the angel told him to go to Egypt, the angel called them out, that it might be, to answer that prophecy, out of Egypt I called my son. And then they were going to go to Jerusalem, and the angel told them again, don't go to Jerusalem, even though Herod had died, but his son Archelaus had become the leader of the country. And so he was still doing what Herod would do. So then they went to Nazareth, 60 or 80 miles north of Jerusalem, and that's why he's called a Nazarene, because he came out of Nazareth. And then at 12 years old, he's in the temple. Came to Nazareth in Luke 2, verse 51, was subject to them. And we don't hear anything about Jesus in the Bible story for the next 18 years. And in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, it says, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. So Jesus was with a family, just like that Passover lamb was with a family, even though albeit for 4 days. But Jesus is born into a family. He fled to Egypt with his family. His family saw him in the temple, confounding the Jewish scholars. And then for the next 18 years, we don't know anything about him biblically, the record anyway, until he's 30 years of age in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Then there was that slaughter of the lamb after all these things took place with that lamb at the Passover. And then Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Verse 8, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Again, Jesus, why'd you have to die? You're the Passover lamb for the New Testament. Your blood's going to be shed for the new covenant, for many, for remission of sins. So there had to be a slaughter of the lamb that was selected. And when Jesus was on the cross, the last words, having said that, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In Luke 23, verse 46, it says, having said that, he breathed his last. So he died on the cross. He was slaughtered. Paul mentions a thing. I don't have these in your notes. I think in Romans chapter 5, beginning of verse 8, concerning this slaughter, God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he frees us from the bondage of sin, just like the last plague freed Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. And he said, but then much more then, having been justified his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we're reconciled to God through the death of his son. And then the word again, much more, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. And then another phrase, and not only that, but also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because now we've received reconciliation. So he begins by saying God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Good. Thank you. Oh, no, there's much more. Now we're justified by his blood and saved. Oh, then much more. We're reconciled. Not only that. So the interesting phrases just in that text of Romans 5, verses 8 through 11. God demonstrated his love. Oh, there's much more. There's much more. And not only that. Wow. And then the sign. Remember when we read the verses about the blood on the doorpost? This shall be a sign. A symbol. An emblem. Wonder, did Jesus leave a sign? A symbol? an emblem, a representation? Luke 22, verse 19, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, he also took the cup. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it involves a sign or signifies something. It's a symbol. We sometimes use that phrase. These emblems are emblematic of something, or this represents. So there was a sign too, even in the Lord's Supper, Passover and Lord's Supper. There's some similarities and some contrast. So we see that in the selection of the lamb. Then I'll close with this next one, the participation. During the Passover, the directions for the deliverance from this 10th plague in Exodus 12, verse 2, speak to the congregation of Israel, the household that would take the lamb. In Exodus 12, verse 25, it will come to pass, when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service, it shall be when your children say to you. Who's going to be observing the Passover? Oh, the Israelites, the household, the family. So when they observe it year from year to year after this first event, when your children say to you, "What do you mean by this service?" Then you shall say, "Oh, it's the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households." See, there was deliverance in the Passover, just as there's deliverance when Jesus instituted his Lord's Supper. "My blood will be shed for many for the remission of sins." And then, so the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so. Participated in the observing of the Passover exactly as it was commanded. And then it says, the next phrase is, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. So they observed as a congregation or as a household together in observing the Passover of the Lord's Supper. It's observed as a congregation, and each of us in the assembly. In Luke 22, verse 14, Jesus said, "When the hour's come," right before his crucifixion, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. All right, Jesus, who are you? Who's observing the Lord's Supper? He sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I die." It's with his disciples. In Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, when Paul gives the instructions to the church in Corinth, and he's about observing the Lord's Supper, he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, "When you come together in one place," meaning the church, and then he proceeds to give instructions concerning the Lord's Supper and its observance, and he begins that letter to the church and 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, is to the church, which is at Corinth. To those, he had mentioned, who's the church? Paul goes on to be very specific. To the church, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, so now we know who's the church that Paul gives instructions to observe the Lord's Supper. When Jesus instituted, he met it with his disciples. And Paul in Acts 20, verse 7, the disciples came together to break bread. So it's within the setting of communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that we all participate all together in partaking of the Lord's Supper as a congregation and as households. So, and we worship on the first day of the week. It's the Christians, the church, that participate in observing the Lord's Supper. Never remember, think about it when Orby leads at the table and he's officiating at the Lord's table. That's the first thing he says every time. He's never missed a time when he's officiating at the Lord's table.
We Christians.
That's right. In this part of our worship assembly, we Christians will partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to get to another point later on about opening closed communion. We don't observe closed communion. That's not a Bible phrase. That's a phrase that the religious world has used and adopted. But I'll talk about that later in the notes. So just, I hope you find some interest in just looking at the Jesus is observing the Passover when he institutes his supper. And there's a lot of similarities and a lot of contrasts in that event. We'll stop there. Lord willing, next Lord's Day evening, the first Sunday of the month, we typically have our singing, and I'll do that same thing, and you can do a singing, so it'll be 2 weeks. When they'll continue these notes, and we'll talk about the procedure that they use to partake of the Passover and the procedure we use to partake of the Lord's Supper biblically. What the Bible says on what they did for the Passover and what we do for the Lord's Supper. There's a lot of brethren are changing things. So I'm going to give you the biblical procedure for the Passover and for the Lord's Supper. Don't change the procedure. That's the point. Give me instructions. We're always on Sunday evening, when we are on Lord's Day, when we assemble together, when we give a lesson, part of our worship time together, we at the close of a lesson, we extend an invitation. Proper. I always use the illustration, why would a sailor make some kind and not ask for the order? So the same thing when we present a lesson. Why not? Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation, because he just explained all the way through in Acts chapter 2, in verse 20, by wicked hands you crucified and slain the Son of God. And then in verse 36, he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. So they were convinced, and they interrupted his sermon and cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter gives the solution, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And so that's what we do at the close of each lesson. We exhort, save yourselves from this crooked generation. The gospel demands a response, an acceptance of that message. And so that's what we do. We invite you to become a Christian, to be baptized for remission of sins. And we always sing a song. I use three different words. I say it's the song of an invitation, the song of exhortation, and a song of encouragement. So it fits, your response fits into one of those areas. So let's stand together. We'll sing this. Dennis has selected for us. That number again, Dennis?
603.
603.